Welcome back to another edition of Nude Hippo, the podcast. I'm Tony Lozano, and this week we are interviewing a spectacular guest who has been on Nude Hippo more times than anyone else. And I know this for a fact because I wrote this down every time this person was on. Now, the show is celebrating its 50th anniversary, Nude Hippo is. No, that can't be right. Let me see. We started in 1930. That doesn't seem right either. Okay, we'll figure this out in a moment, but it's Mr. Skin. Mr. Skin is not his real name. His real name is Jim McBride, but I don't call him either of those things. I call him Skinny, but we'll get into Skinny in a moment. But first, let me introduce, every week we have someone producing this show for me, Nude Hippo, the podcast, and I just grab someone from And Friends, another podcast, and they come on over here to my secret lair and help me put this thing together. This week for Man Friends is Kimmy Spoons.
Hello.
Do you like female nudity?
It's empowering.
It is. Do you like female naked celebrities?
I mean, I find it interesting.
That's what I would call it too. Mr. Skin, when he was just a teenage boy, we'd used to videotape movies. And then he would copy only the nude scenes. And he got to the point where he knew every nude scene that any female celebrity ever made. It became a hobby. It became a niche. Of course, everyone was fascinated by this skill slash talent that he had. And before he realized he could make money doing this, because he has done very well for himself. There's money in porn, let me tell you.
But this isn't fully porn.
It's not, you know what? Let's not call it porn. Let's call it celebrity female nudity. He came on my show as a guest who could just rattle off. You would say, pick someone.
Mila Kunis.
Right. And he would be able to tell you not only the movie that she was in and not only what you would see of her, but he would also tell you exactly what point in the movie. So you could fast forward right to that. Well, he then invested and made a website to do exactly that, which is MrSkin.com. And you've heard him on Howard Stern now. The movie Knocked Up had a whole big arc story about him. I've always wanted to do a sit-down interview with Skin and not talk about the nudity so much. I wanted to talk about what it's like now that he's a family man, because when I knew him, he was single. Now that he's a family man with kids, what's it like to be Mr. Skin? So this is that interview, and it's promoting a book that he has out called
Being Mr. Skin, 20 Years of Nip Slips, Cheek Peeks, and Fast Forwarding to the Good Parts.
That's right. And so you're going to get to hear some of the stories that's in the book, but you're also going to get to hear some stories that are not in the book, plus some personal history between us, which is fascinating. And a Nude Hippo exclusive will be revealed here. Something big is in this interview. I went to Skinny's office, sat down in the middle of the Mr. Skin headquarters, and had a conversation with Jim McBride. Skinny, Mr. Skin.
Following is a Tony Lozano podcast, an Opie show on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. This is Nude Hippo, the podcast.
So I'm in your office right now. I'm in with the Mr. Skin, Jim McBride, and I'm looking in the direction where I used to do my TV show. I used to do my TV show on Ashland. We had a studio
right
by Division there, and I can't see it because it's being blocked, but yeah.
You're looking in the direction.
We used to even be on the rooftop. We used to have a segment on the rooftop.
When I went on your television show with Harry,
yeah,
it was like in 97 or 8, somewhere in that range.
Yep.
Where were we?
That was a Green Street Studios,
yes.
And that was, I believe, your first TV appearance, right?
It was
right?
My first one, yeah.
I've
seen pictures of it, and I think I have somewhere a video of it. And I look so young. And Harry looks so skinny. And But now he's back to being skinny again. Yes. Yeah.
Harry Tynowitz. Yes. Yeah. You still look young. You still look great. I don't think I've held up over the years. You're looking great.
Thank you. Well, when you have a job you love, the stress isn't quite the same as what maybe some people that have to go to a real job have.
Well, let's talk about that. I'm going to do some puns here. If we strip down what you do and get to the bare facts.
Oh, very good.
You have taken what was your passion, your hobby, your interest, and made it into a business.
Yes.
Just on that value alone, I applaud you because anyone who can do that is amazing.
Well, you know, it's funny. With my new book coming out, Being Mr. Skin, I was trying to think, like, what are angles to get people to want to read the book?
Yeah.
And one of the angles I thought of, and it's so true, there's so many people out there that want to start their own business, right? Why wouldn't you want to? Right. I know it's scary, but boy, wouldn't everyone's dream be to have your own business, have your own employees, be your own boss, make great money?
Right.
Awesome. But, you know, people are afraid to do it. They don't know how to do it. And one of the things about the book and the story that I've had now for 20 years is I didn't know what I was doing when I started.
I
think people could learn. There were some things you could learn from what I did if you wanted to start your own business. For instance, using media for free advertising for your product, which was so important. All the great radio promotion I've had, the thousands of radio shows I go on. Now, obviously, you don't just want to start a business and 2,000 shows are going to want to have you on. That's not how it works. But there's a secret to coming up with a hook. You know, what does a radio show want?
Right.
They want someone that is going to be entertaining and has something that will appeal to their audience. So, you're basically doing the work for them, you know,
because
everyone who has a radio show would love to have someone they just flip a switch and they actually entertain people.
Well, as a producer, I've produced radio for 20 years, and that's one thing I always tell people when they're trying to pitch something. I'm like, if you give me something with a hook, I don't care what you're doing. Something that the listeners will be able to go, I want to know more about that, because they don't care about your product.
Nope.
But if you give them a reason to care, something fun, something exciting, boom, there you are.
Well, and the beauty was I was going on the radio and your television show and other things before I had a website.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a hook, but with nothing on the hook. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had no bait. Master bait, but no bait. But anyway, I would go on, and my hook was, ask me any actress, I could tell you off the top of my head if they've been nude and you know, how far in the movie and all that stuff. And it was fun, and it took up time. Well, then all of a sudden I created the website, and now we could go, I'd have the airtime, the 20 minutes of airtime, and say, oh, well, if you go to, you know, her page at MrSkin.com, you could see what we're talking about.
Right.
It was the greatest free promotion. And I'm not saying someone out there is going to get exactly the type of exposure I had or do it the same way, but there's secrets in what I did that could help someone that's trying to start a business.
Yeah, and I saw you grow. I remember, in fact, when I was doing the TV show, we moved over to the City of Chicago channel. We went from a cable access channel to a commercial channel. So Mayor Daley was in charge, and you were one of our frequent guests.
Yeah.
And they were worried about having you on, so we came up with an angle.
Right, which I remember. Was, which was
parents
which absurd, but we came up with it.
It was parents, what was it? Mr. Skin advises parents. And what you did was, you warned them, like, at 7 minutes and 33 seconds in this movie, you're going to
reverse it. It was, instead of me celebrating the great nude scene, I was saying, now, parents out there, you got to be, you know. So on one hand, we were acting like it was helping, but at the other, we were kind of cluing people into the time they should actually fast forward to in the movie.
That's right. When you were, now, before you even had the website, you did. You were, I would say, like a walking encyclopedia, and people found that to be fascinating. And that's why you got the exposure early on.
Yes.
And that all started from you, what, videotaping nude scenes on a VHS and making your own collection?
So I grew up as a kid, you know, from the 70s. And when, you know, when I grew up, it was ABC, CBS, and NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it was the fall of 1980. I was a senior in high school. And there was this, you know, as I say in the book, the skies opened up. And this was this convergence of technologies where my dad got cable television in Oak Park, Illinois, in fall of 1980, where I had all the channels, HBO, Showtime, and Cinemax. And to put that into perspective today, it's hard for people to understand. Yeah. I mean, there was no internet. There was no cell phones. I had to take the Sears catalog bra section into my bedroom for like entertainment. And all of a sudden, I'm getting these Italian sex comedies, British sex farces, drive-in movies, blaxploitation movies. And it was like full frontal nudity, actresses I'd never heard of, completely naked. And then all of a sudden, actresses I heard of, like Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, and Bobby Joe and the Outlaw, and Marsha Brady, Maureen McCormick from the Brady Bunch in Texas Lightning, a drive-in movie from 1981. And it just absolutely blew my mind. And on top of that, my dad bought me a Betamax player, which was, you know, it was Betamax and VHS were the two big technologies.
The formats.
And he actually got me a second Betamax, which was the key because then I was able to tape nude scenes onto the other Betamax. And all I did for probably like 5-6 years was tape as many movies with the big letter N in the cable guide. And I just became an expert on this stuff. Yeah. And hey, you know, thank God the internet came along because I probably would be committed somewhere because now I have credibility for all that hard work. But back then I was just doing it for the love of nudity and film and being a young kid that was like, you know, probably overly sexed without being able to have sex. And you know the story. So, yeah.
And I remember when you were launching the website, you let me be a beta tester.
No jokes there, huh? Yeah.
And I remember...
And you were a master at it.
Yeah, I was a master. And I remember you telling me, because you were trying to figure out how to get this material online without getting sued. Do you remember what the hook was?
Well, right. Well, what happened was, before I launched MrSkin.com on August 10th of 1999, this is probably... 2 years prior when the idea, well, probably a year and a half before when, you know, I actually was going to make the commitment to quit my job and do this. I went to an IP attorney in Chicago and I said, listen, if I'm going to do that, I described the website to her and I said, if I'm going to do this, how can I do this so I won't get shut down? Because, you know, and she explained, listen, the key is it has to be a review news website. The pics and clips need to support the reviews and the bios and the ratings, not the opposite thing. So if you come to MrSkin.com, from day one, we've always had great writing and editorial content and lots of it. A lot of websites that have come and gone would just post the pictures with no supporting editorial content. So think of it like when Siskel and Ebert reviewed a movie, they'd talk about it and they'd show a 1 minute clip of the movie and you ask, well, what's the difference? Why can they do it and I couldn't? Well, the answer is there's no difference.
Right.
I could just like they could. And it was just the differences, you know, I might show 8 seconds of a nude scene, they may show 1 minute of a movie clip.
You know? Right. You zeroed in on a particular part of a movie.
100%.
Yeah, and but you're still a critic in that sense.
100%. And we always maintain that. Like nothing goes into our website unless it's reviewed, rated. You know, some of the content we have at our website, we might have 50 blog posts talking about it on top of all the information you can find on the page. Yeah. So it's really an incredible amount of editorial content. We spend a lot of money. A lot of the money we make goes back into editorial with the writers. And you could look out at my office here. These are, that's all writers right there. Yeah. Six
big
writers.
Staff. Yeah. Big staff. Yeah. Yeah. And a nice place. I also still have to this day, the Alyssa Milano photo that you used when you first launched a website. You gave it to me because you knew how much of a fan I was of hers.
Oh, I don't remember that. What did I give you? I don't even know.
It's a magazine page of her from her Bikini Magazine did a muddy shot of her.
Oh,
she was covered in mud.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes, yes.
And I gave that
to you. This is what we scanned and put on MrSkin.com.
Oh, my God.
I want you to have this. I still have it.
That's interesting. I do not remember that at all. I remember the picture.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have to say that if you ask me, I don't know if it's still true today, but 5 years ago, if you said in the 15 years of MrSkin.com, who's the most popular actress, I'd have to have said Alyssa Milano because she was famous the day I launched. And she always was in something on Charmed you know, people remember her obviously from Who's the Boss, but she'd always be in our like top 25 most searched actresses. Now we have 30,000 actresses. When I launched it, we only had 1,000, but she would probably be the one actress through 20 years. If she's not number one, she's in the top five. No question about it.
It's probably because of me, though.
It's probably because it's because of guys like you.
It's absolutely correct. Yes.
That's so funny.
And I was there the night you met your wife.
Yes.
It was the Pete McMurray 1 year anniversary.
May 7th, 1999. Yeah. Yes. And it was at
The Abbey Pub?
The Abbey Pub. It's since been shut down. Yeah. And it was Pete McMurray's 1 year radio anniversary. I had become a semi-radio personality from all my appearances on his show. And I invited a girl that I had met at the East Bank Club. It was my one place I spent my little money I had. And I had a membership there. And I met a girl. And I said, hey, there's going to be this one-year anniversary party next week. Would you like to go? And she ended up inviting her friend.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know the girl well, but then, you know, she invites his friend. So I'm there that night. As was Cindy Crawford's mom.
That's right.
Pete's other big celebrity he had his 1 year anniversary. And the second I laid eyes on her, I was like, oh my God.
Her friend, not
her friend.
Yeah.
Well, your friend. No, you know, and it's funny because they're best friends, but she really introduced me to my wife. And it happened, you were there because you guys were videotaping.
Yep.
And what's really cool, not many people could say this, the night I met my wife, I have videotape, and we have it at home, and my kids go nuts when they see it because it's us, like literally I'd known her for, you know, an hour, and you guys came with your camera and your video, and it's really cool. And in the book, I have a picture that night, and Nick's in it. Nick's in it, and it's me, my wife, her best friend, and Nick, and it was the night I met her. So, and you know, and I think about this, one of the cool things about this whole Mr. Skin thing for me is I think we could joke about it, it's this goofy website, whatever, but pretty much everything great that's happened to me in my life is a direct result of quitting my job at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and taking a chance on this thing that I had no idea what it would become. I met my wife. I mean, I have a business with 40 employees. I have had the greatest 20 years a guy could have in from a business standpoint. I have kids because of it. Yeah. Everything, you know, everything good that's happened to me is a direct result of this website.
And that's also part of the story in your book.
Yes.
You talk about, you know, becoming a family man.
Yes.
Because when I met you, like I said,
what's the opposite of family man?
It's a guy who starts Mr. Skin.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I should say that I was... I'd like to go out with the guys and come home late. Let's just say that. Sometimes not even come home at all, you know. So, but yeah, it was a different time when I launched this to now. I mean, it's funny. We have an office here with ping pong pool. I have a keg. I see some of my workers at like 5 o'clock having a beer, like ready to go out, and I'm like, I'm on my way home, man. I gotta be in bed by like 9. It's so different. It's so different.
But you're happy this way.
Right.
You're happy that that's in your past and where you are
Listen,
now.
If I got married in my 20s, we'd be talking about my third marriage. So this was the best thing that happened. I waited till I was 40 years old to get married. So
tell me about family life. Tell me about family life with Mr. Skin.
Well,
does this become Jim?
Yeah, well, no. I talk about this in the book where, you know, there's been a lot of funny experiences. Obviously, I live in a very nice suburb with a lot of very successful business people, but I'm the only one that has a celebrity nudity website to get my foot in the door up there. So, I've been there 8 years, and one of the things that I tell people all the time is I don't walk into a situation where I don't know people and say, "Hi, I'm Mr. Skin," or "This is what I do." I never do because I don't know how people are going to react. I don't know if people are going to be offended. And I don't want to offend someone that maybe thinks what I do is there's something wrong with it. So, you know, it's not my game plan when I walk into a situation, but
also if you're not working, you're just doing family things. Do you also like to try to get away from that and just try to be a regular person?
Yeah, well, that's because the other thing is I never even, you know, when I'm driving home at night, do you think I even think about it? No, it's just, it's my job. I go home, whatever. But what happens is, you know, inevitably people will ask, what do you do? And then I got to make the call. Like, usually my game is, if I don't know the person, I'll say, I have a computer business, I have a website, this and that. A lot of times they just let it slide. And then the next one is, what is the website? Okay, here we go. MrSkin.com. And then I let that sit. And then if I get either, oh my God, you're the guy on Howard Stern and the movie Knocked Up, or, you know, is that a dermatology thing? And I'm like, yeah, it's a dermatology thing.
I didn't think about that.
Right. So that's usually the thing. But what's more interesting now that I have kids is just assume people that don't know me have no idea what I do. But now I find out that everyone in the town knows what I do. It's just because every time people come up to me that I don't even know and say, hey, I'm a big fan of you and Howard Stern. You know, there's so many Howard Stern fans out there. And to them, it's such a cool thing. And but like I said, as far as my kids go, a little anecdote, like I think my daughter, who's a freshman, doesn't like run the school and brag about what I do. And not that she's, you know, horrified, but she's just like, it's kind of weird for a girl to talk about what I do. Whereas my son read my book in two nights and he was done, and he loved it. And part of me was really, really proud. Like, hey, this is a book about my career, my business. My son loved it. And then I was thinking, oh, geez, what about when he got to the part where I had the five best side bush shots of all time? And I'm like, that's the big, that's the struggle of my life is, on one hand, you know, you're proud and you know, you have pride and all that. Yeah. But on the other, it's like, oh, my God, I'm so sophomoric with this stuff. So, by the way, we called that the top five side bush shots profiles and furage. So,
Well, as you know, being the guy behind Nude Hippo, I too sometimes I'm hesitant of saying what I do.
You don't walk in with a nude hippo. Right. You work up to a nude hippo.
That's right. Yeah. That's something you slowly work into the conversation. I asked you this once before. I know the answer, but I still find it fascinating. Now, if I eat a lot of ice cream, after a while I get sick of ice cream. Are you sick of seeing boobs?
No. When Alexandra Daddario did that nude scene in True Detective, I was just as excited, just as happy for my website as I was when maybe I saw Phoebe Cates in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yeah. You know, it's different. Like when I saw Phoebe Cates in Fast Times, I was younger and hadn't seen as much.
Yeah,
but I have not lost that side of it. Where I think the big difference is, the biggest difference about me and my business today versus the early days is just the support I have and the people that do the work. And I'm almost like, I'm not the guy, I don't even know how to fast forward in the way our guys do it. The tech people off their computer, I wouldn't even know how to do it. I have eight people whose sole job is to go through movies and television shows. I don't know how to do that anymore. I used to be the only one that does it, but technology's way past me by. But I keep up with it. Right now, as we're talking, I'm looking at in our Slack chat, we have a TV report where as soon as they go through something, they'll post it and it comes through. So did I watch the television show? No, but I saw what I need to see.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you ever yell at the workers here for not looking at porn? This is like the opposite of a workplace.
Yeah. You get suspended if you have CNN on in your computer. Listen, I don't yell at anyone. That's just not my style. But it is funny because I got to tell you, there's times, because we also own Mr. Man, and which is a male nudity website we started about 5 or 6 years ago, which has been a great, it's been on a upward trajectory, no pun intended, since we launched. But I'll be walking by a computer sometime and see the most graphic stuff, and I'm like, oh my God. Oh wait, that's fine. I don't need to call HR. That's our company, you know, cause it's like, you know, now a big difference you'll see in mainstream movies, both, you know, male and female nudity, where they push the boundaries to even to the point where it could be, definitely porn. I mean, Brown Bunny's a great example where mainstream movies will have, Mainstream movies with actors and actresses you would know would have sex scenes that you would actually see in a porn movie. So it's really changed a lot. But obviously, we're still 99% of what we deal with is R-rated. But, you know, there's definitely times it crosses the line, especially in the mainstream world, both television and movies.
You're listening to Nude Hippo, the podcast. We'll be right back after this. Stick around.
This is Minutia Men with Rick and Dave.
We are happy to have Mark Cuban on the show.
Is there a way that we can monetize my daughter's eye rolls? Can you do anything? Can you figure that out?
So my daughter, I'll let her put on Sirius XM, whatever song she likes. We pull into this half circle when I drop her off. And, you know, she's ready to get out of the car. I'll say, I love you, sweetie. Bam, blast it. And, you know, and if it's a song I know the words to, then I'm singing along, too. And her friends are looking at me and looking at the car.
Oh, man, there's nothing more embarrassing than dad singing along.
Oh, man, it's like, Kiki, do you love me?
Tony Lozano Podcast and Opie Production on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
RadioMisfits.com.
I have a lump in my testicles.
Like Tommy's testicular cyst, we are the cyst that has grown off of Lozano and Friends.
So I was trying to explain what exactly And Friends is to one of my friends. And I think the best way I could describe it was it's equivalent to roughly a tumor that has grown off of Lozano and Friends and gained its own legs.
Hey, if you like this type of content, look us up on RadioMisfits.com. That's And Friends.
You can find And Friends on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes, and the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
Don't listen to this show. No one listen to this show.
You gotta wait for the connection to happen.
Operator, collect call from And Friends.
Oh my god, what is this bit?
I don't know.
For these serious topics and more, listen, subscribe, and rate And Friends on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Just search for Radio Misfits.
And we're back. Now more of the interview.
You said you have Mr. Man for now for 5 years. I remember when I first met you and I asked you about that. And you were like, I will never do male celebrity
nudity.
Well,
that was just young and stupid. Yeah. what we realized about 5 or 6 years ago, and my people came to me and they said, listen, we're already going through all these movies and television shows anyway. Yeah. Why can't we just grab the male nudity too? You'll do eventually we're going to do a male nudity website. So I said, that's fine, just grab it. And then they kept on and kept on. Yeah. And we MrMan.com that we own is such a good website. It's based exactly how we do Mr. Skin, but it's for, you know, and it's funny because when I launched it, I literally thought it would be like 50% female, 50% male would come to the website. You know, women want to see male men. Listen, it's probably 99% gay men, give or take 1 or 2%. And it's the fact of the matter is women just don't come to those kind of websites.
No pun intended.
Maybe as a joke at a party, but not as a
monthly
subscriber.
Why don't you think so, though? Because they do like porn.
No, they do, but okay, let me ask a question. Are they going to take out their credit card and pay
That's
for
what I'm thinking.
That's what
I think,
I'm talking about. I'm not saying women don't come to the site. I'm talking about my subscribers.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know, I'd say like, you know, of my subscribers at Mr. Skin, I'm pretty confident to say almost 100% are men. Of my subscribers at Mr. Man, I'm confident to say almost 100% are men. You know? So that's how you got to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, running the TV show Nude Hippo, we were very female friendly with our reporters and our coverage and all that. And, you know, I'm not just talking about having pretty women. I'm talking about covering actually female-oriented topics. And I could tell you, we still with the looking at the results, mostly men watch us. And I'm like, it's the name. Yeah. Women are running away from the name.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, no, you have to. Right. And listen, I gave it a shot thinking it was, you know, going to be 50%, 50%. Yeah. And when we realized that we shift focus and, you know, how we advertise, how we write, everything shifted more to the gay male audience, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm so happy to have it. Like I said, it's been just a great revenue generator for us over the last 5 or 6 years.
Where do you see Mr. Skin years from now? I mean, is this a legacy that will continue after you?
Yeah, I think the brand is pretty strong. And I look at it, I see myself as maybe being the face of this for probably another 2.5 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then I'm no longer going to do that. I think that'll be, I feel like, no joke, like I don't want to be in my 60s mm-hmm. and be like, you know, hey, look at that 18-year-old mm-hmm. girl naked. I think it'll lose its charm pretty quickly, you know? Plus, I think it'll be time for me to move on and do something else. Now, am I going to sell the website? I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. I'll walk away as the face of it and let my team run it mm-hmm. and just not be the face of the website anymore and not do interviews and right. go on and talk about stuff. But we'll see. But mm-hmm. I've pretty much made up my mind that in 2022, I'm going to be done okay. doing this.
Has this been announced? Is this a
nude
hippo exclusive?
This is a nude hippo exclusive. So.
Where did the cartoon character of the Mr. Skin Face come from?
The guy who approached me about building a website mm-hmm. knew a guy who did design somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, it was funny. He initially said to me, all right, for the logo, let's get a... He gave me these ideas he had. And one of them was a dude in a trench coat opening mm-hmm. his trench coat. And I remember thinking, no, I want this to be like those guys in the ads in the 50s where mm-hmm. dad's raking the leaves and it's that yeah. smiley dad 50s face you'd see in those ads. And I wanted it to be like the feeling of fun and mm-hmm. campy and clean mm-hmm. when you come to our
and
website.
Classy.
And classy, yeah. And I know it sounds stupid because of what the content is, but I don't want you to think you're at yeah. a sleazy porn site when you come to Mr. Right. Skin. Like, some of the early designs I had like pimento olives were like buttons to get around and we had like teal colors and all this stuff. I mean, totally not what you should do to drive traffic into a join funnel, which we've learned a lot over the years. But you know, that was my yeah. personal style, and I didn't want it to be sleazy and creepy. I may be sleazy and creepy, but I didn't want the website to be. So we went with that. This guy designed that face. Mm-hmm. And the second I saw it, it blew my mind. And it's yeah. that logo's been the logo for Mr. Skin forever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Finally, if you weren't doing Mr. Skin all this time, what would you have been doing?
Great question. You know, I was a clerk at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. I wasn't a broker. Mm-hmm. And in 1999, I think 4% of the trades on the floor were computer. Mm-hmm. Today, it's like 96 mm-hmm. versus 4, right? Open outcry. And I definitely wouldn't have stayed there because that business went away and I mm-hmm. wasn't exactly killing it there mm-hmm. as a clerk. So, you know, I really don't know. Maybe sales of some type.
Did you have another interest in anything?
Well, yeah. I mean, I have interests. I love baseball, but mm-hmm. I wasn't going to be on the White Sox. I love American history, but I wasn't going to be a history professor. I sometimes will wake up in the middle of the night and think, God, thank God I went out drinking that Tuesday night in Lincoln Park, at Charlie's Ale House to meet Harry.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't, what the hell would I be doing today?
Because he's the one that put you on the radio.
Yeah, Harry did. My friends were quizzing me, and I was having a beer. I had to be on the floor at 6 in the morning. It's like 11 at night. I'm like, what am I doing? And they're quizzing me on actresses. I'm banging out everyone. And then I didn't even know Harry. And he was like, oh, my God, you got to come on my radio show. And he was on WMVP with Spike, AM1000 at the time. It was like 97 maybe.
Yeah.
And they had just started their radio show. They actually were filling in for Bonaducci that mm-hmm. week. And they were doing like, you know, a couple hours, Harry and Spike. So Harry said, well, I said to him, all right, I'll come on, but I'm going to come on your radio show. I don't want to use my real name. And he goes, all right, well, how about Mr. Naked? And I'm like, nah, that's okay, but I don't know. And he goes, second one, how about Mr. Skin? And I'm like, done, let's do it. So I came on as Mr. Skin, and he had me on the show, and they started with a few easy questions, mm-hmm. and then they had the callers call in, and I'm thinking, so I'm answering every question. I don't know if that tape exists. I should ask Harry if it still exists, but I was nervous. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd never done this before. I'd never been on a radio show. And, but I was, you know, I knew how to answer these questions and people thought it was fascinating. And I remember when it ended, I was thinking to myself, God, that was so much fun. I was like energizing. I've never done anything that I had so much fun doing, but I thought, well, that was a great 15 minutes of mm-hmm. fame. That was pretty cool. And I was shaking hands with Harry, and then I start to leave the studio, and it was in the Hancock building. And his producer, Wonderboy, comes up to me and goes, you know, Mr. Skin, we had so many people on the wire that wanted to talk to you. You should, would you want to come back and do this? And I remember thinking, and I talk about this in the book, I remember thinking at that exact moment, God, I have something here. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what it is. Because I didn't know what the internet was. It was a couple years before like, there was an internet, you know, of that we know.
Right.
So it's a really crazy story. So it's like, thank God I went out drinking. Thank God I, you know, went on his show.
Yeah.
You know, and didn't say no.
Right.
Thank God I answered the questions and it was entertaining. Yeah. I mean, there's like a checklist of things I could have effed up. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the best advice right there. I tell everyone this. I went, just do it. Go right. out there and do it.
Right.
The worst thing that happens is you have a good story.
Right.
You know, really?
Right.
Just go. You never know what happens. And you're a fine exactly. example of that.
Yeah. And yeah. And I, you know, listen, the other advice I give people, and it's weird advice, but to me it's very true, is like, I feel like if I was making better money at the Merck, mm-hmm. I never would have took this chance. Mm-hmm. And better money to me now, there's such a difference. But the point is, I had no money in the bank. I wasn't doing that great. Mm-hmm. I didn't have much to lose.
Right.
And sometimes I see people that are making a little bit more than maybe what I was making at the time that feel mm-hmm. comfortable, and they don't want to take that chance. Whereas when you own your own business, forgetting right. the money,
right.
when you own your own business and all the joy that brings, frustrations too, but the joy of it and the financial stability, the freedom, mm-hmm. It's like, gosh, thank God I was, you know, doing terribly so I could have this, end up having this business, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Yeah. It pushed you.
Yeah.
I wish I could mention names, but there was, on your very first time on my show, okay. there was a news anchor, there was a politician, and there was a few other people out in the hall talking to you outside of the studio.
I remember Buzz Killman was there.
Yeah, well, we can mention Buzz.
Yeah.
But there are other ones that were just naming celebrities at
oh,
you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You were just kicking the joy that they had in their eyes.
Well, yeah, and think about it. At the time, they couldn't Google it. They right. couldn't. They couldn't look it up at IMDb.
Right.
It was just like, there was just a guy to do this.
You were Google.
I was Google. I was Google. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Skin, the book is now out. There's a foreword by Adam Carolla.
Carolla.
No, Carolla. Yes. That was nice of him to do that.
Very nice. I don't like to ask people for things like that, but he was very generous in doing it. And I'm actually going to be on his podcast in about a week and a half out in L.A., so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, we'll promote that so someone will listen to that.
sure.
Being Mr. Skin is the book, 20 Years of Nip Slips, Cheek Peeks, and Fast Forwarding to the Good Parts. This is available. Can you get this at MrSkin.com?
Well, yeah, it's right at the front page of our site.
I know you can get it at Amazon,
obviously. Yeah. And it's actually in bookstores. One of my friends was at the Barnes & Noble on Webster mm-hmm. in the city. And I mean, you remember what a bookstore is?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
There's a few left.
Yeah, there's a few left. Well, they were there.
And the new ones are Amazon, by the way.
Right. I know. It's in bookstores. But so you get it either at a bookstore or at Amazon.
Yeah. Thank you, Jimmy. I really appreciate you doing this.
Well, thanks. And we have a long history, and thank you for the opportunity back in like 97
That's
or 98, whatever it was, my first TV appearance. So you were skinstrumental in my early development. I really appreciate that.
I always
will appreciate that.
You were always very supportive with everything we did as well. So
cool.
Thank you. So that was Mr. Skin. So, if you want to find out more about Mr. Skin, go to MrSkin.com. His book is called
Being Mr. Skin, 20 Years of Nip Slips, Cheek Peeks, and Fast Forwarding to the Good Parts.
So, the picture that's in there of him and his wife for the first time is our picture. Also, there's a picture with him and Harry Tynowitz. That's our picture. There's a few cool moments in there. A great book. And great guy. I really have always admired knowing him. And now you know the big exclusive that you heard on our podcast and you won't hear anywhere else. So from Anne Friends, Kimmy Spoons. So I have to thank you,
thank you
for doing this. And of course, now you thank me. This is how this works.
I guess I could. I could thank you, executive producer Tony Lasano with opishows.com. Distributed by Ed Silla from RadioMisfits.com. OPI is hippo spelled backwards. OPPIH.com.
See, all the shows have to end that way. And it would be really weird if I just go, I would like to thank, special thanks to executive producer Tony Lasano.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
So it just makes
Hold on, let me add this in here because I just realized something. OPPIHshows.com.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
I realized I forgot the shows. And I was like, he didn't realize that. I'm going to do that because he's going to realize later and be like, he needs his shows.
No. My staff will catch it and then yell at me and then they'll yell at you.
Everyone gets yelled at.
It's a wonderful place to work at. Until next time, from all of us here at Nude Hippo the Podcast, stick around.
Listen, subscribe, and rate Nude Hippo the Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Just search for Radio Misfits.
The proceeding was a presentation of Opie Productions. Find our other great shows wherever you find podcasts, including opishows.com. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of Opie Productions.
Tony, can you shut up?
Be sure to tune in to Free Kicks with Adam and Rick. Our podcast highlights the best soccer league in the world.
The English Premier League.
We recap the previous week's games.
And preview the upcoming games.
I do it from an American point of view.
And I do it as an authentic Brit, accent and all.
That's authentic, right, Governor?
Not exactly how I say it.
We all also talk about the local soccer scene because Adam is the Illinois Youth Director of Coaching. If you love soccer.
Football.
Football. Tune in to Free Kicks. New episodes drop weekly.
On the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
Coming up on the next episode of the Car Guys Report, Informed Automotive, it's unbelievable power from a turbo four-cylinder courtesy of Mercedes-AMG, plus a steal of a price for a Callaway Corvette. I'm Mark Vernon. Join me for these stories and more on the Car Guys Report, a Tony Lasano podcast, an Opie production on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.